All right, so I am recording this episode in a little bit of anger because I just read an article that rehashes a poll called Nearly Half of U.S. Voters Think Biden Is Spending Too Much on Ukraine Aid. And that just makes me absolutely freaking furious, right? Right? The arguments against Ukraine aid are, quite frankly, bad. And this is because aid to Ukraine has been probably the single biggest foreign policy win in a generation, possibly more, probably since the end of the Cold War. Never has the United States gotten so much on the international stage for so little. We have spent approximately $75 billion as of this month on assistance to Ukraine. And for that relative pittance, over the past 2 years, the war has been an unmitigated foreign policy win for the United States on a bunch of fronts. We have destroyed the Russian military for 10 cents on the dollar, probably less than that. We've exhausted their missile stockpiles. We've exhausted their tank supply. Their planes have been shot down. Their helicopters have been shot down. All their best troops have been killed. The vaunted Russian army is fighting a World War I style war right now and are absolutely not a threat to Eastern Europe in the way that they were just a couple of years ago. The invasion has also woken up the rest of Europe to the need to defend itself, and Europe is finally starting to spend more money on its own defense, which every single president since Eisenhower has been trying to tell them to do, so that's a win. They know the reality that if we, the United States, had not helped Ukraine in the opening weeks of the war, Ukraine almost certainly would have fallen. Moldova would have been next. And after that, I mean, Europe just became a real scary place because we would have just taught Putin that wars of conquest apparently work. And in terms of our war readiness, the war is also a big win. There was a very small and short-lived readiness dip as we drew down some stockpiles. But overall, today, as of today, we are more prepared to fight a high-end war because of the conflict and the aid that we have given Ukraine than we would have been had we not supplied that aid. I just looked it up, and of the $75 billion that we have sent to Ukraine thus far, about $23.5 billion or so, 31%, are weapons. And so that is when we send them artillery shells, we send them Javelin missile systems, we send them anti-aircraft systems, etc., from our stockpiles. But those stockpiles, they're not staying empty. The money allocated, the $23.5 billion, it never went to Ukraine. It was just used to replenish and backfill our own stockpiles. And it is our own defense industrial base that is supplying that backfill. We started up dead production lines and ramped up others to build more artillery shells, more anti-tank missiles, more anti-air missiles, etc., etc., etc. And we're finding out where in our defense industrial base we couldn't produce that quickly. I mean, right? Previously, we're only shooting off so many of these for training, and yeah, we're fine making that small number. But it turns out when you ramp up in a wartime scenario, that there's a lot of unforeseeable kinks in the system. We're just finding out where they all are for free, and we're solving them. And we're replacing all this Cold War era stuff that we're giving to Ukraine with new, good, better stuff that is better suited for a high-end threat against China. And so we're giving Ukraine our old stuff. They're kicking Russian butt with it, or at least, you know, they devolved into a stalemate where Russia continues to bleed and to lose more equipment than they can build continuously. So that's good. Russia gets weaker and weaker over time, all for the cost of precisely zero American soldiers dead. And that means that in the medium term, we are more prepared with newer weapons. And since Russia is not such a threat on the Eastern Front, and the Europeans have started to spend more on their own defense, we in turn can shift our military attention away from Europe to Asia and the Pacific, where the long-term actual threat and U.S. interest lies, against China. Another side benefit of draining the Russian military in Ukraine is that they can no longer support an arms export industry. Russia was a huge arms exporter around the world prior to the war, and a lot of those exports went to countries that we don't like and or our defense companies were competing with the Russians to sell weapons to. And now, because every single available Russian artillery system, missile, drone, helicopter, plane, truck, tank, and spare part they can produce is going to the front lines as fast as possible, that means that they're certainly not exporting. And that means that the unsavory regimes that basically could only buy Russian systems are seeing their militaries decay, so that's good. But it also means that U.S. and allied industrial bases are winning contracts, and that's also good. This creates dependency on the United States and our allies down the line instead of dependency on Russia. And over the long term, it shows that Russia is not a reliable supplier of weapons, to countries that are considering who to buy from. And this is good because without the economies of scale that Russia gets from their weapons exports during peacetime, they would have to spend a ton more money for the same domestic military output. And so this war is long-term degrading their ability to threaten U.S. interests by making them spend more money for less output. And on top of all of that, the fact is that aid to Ukraine is the morally right thing to do. Ukraine is a budding democratic state that threw off the yoke of Putinism, basically. And for that, more or less, Russia invaded them because they felt them slipping out of their sphere of influence. This has been an absolutely barbaric invasion on Russia's part, where children have been stolen from their homes by the thousands. Civilians have been targeted, raped, tortured, and killed en masse, and blatantly so. Russia has acted in a quasi-Hamas manner at times. And generally, the United States, we consider it our thing to help the good guys. We don't always live up to that standard, I mean, obviously, but we are absolutely helping the good guys against the bad guys in this fight. And so there are some, you know, good faith, I guess, possibly arguments that I've heard against Ukraine aid. And one of them is, oh, the country is so corrupt, we don't know where the money goes. And like, yeah, sure, maybe, right? Absolutely. Is Ukraine a corrupt place? Yes. And of that $75 billion that we've given and the tens of billions more that Europe has given, is some smallish percentage of that going to end up in some rich dude's pocket? Absolutely. And you know what I say? Who cares? Like, right. Ideally, none of the money would go to some kleptocrat's pocket, and we do our best to minimize this, but that's life, and war is hard, and it's opaque, and we're trying to do more good than bad here, and aid to Ukraine is just such a good thing from any perspective, morally, realpolitik, from focusing on China to destroying Russia to instilling confidence in our allies that we will support them if needed. It is an all-around win for the United States, and to try to hold that back for some fig leaf of corruption is disingenuous, I would say. The other goodish faith argument that I've seen is that we as a country would be better off spending money elsewhere. And yes, that is true. Would the money be better spent building houses for the homeless or fighting climate change or building new schools or lowering taxes or whatever? Absolutely, I guess. But that is not the trade-off that we are facing. First off, the amount of money is minuscule. I did the math just now, and the 2023 Ukraine spending was about 0.15% of U.S. government spending in 2023. And it's not like Congress is not spending money on something because a few billion are going to Ukraine. If Congress wanted to spend more money on houses for the homeless or better schools or a border wall or whatever, they could. Nothing is stopping them. Congress does it for everything else. It's not like there's a limited pot of money where you're taking a billion from schools to pay for Ukraine. Don't get me wrong. I am absolutely 100% in the general government needs to get its spending under control camp. But if you're serious about getting the deficit under control, attacking the 0.15% going to Ukraine is a pretty small bucket to be looking for savings in, right? The only policy levers that actually matter in terms of the deficit are healthcare and Social Security. When you throw in military spending and interest payments on top of that, everything else together, collectively, is a rounding error, basically. And so unless you're clamoring to cut grandma's pension and Medicare benefits while simultaneously raising taxes, any cries of, we can't afford to send weapons to Ukraine, that just rings hollow. People who say that are either uninformed or they don't really care about the deficit. And to argue against Ukraine spending for that reason is, quite frankly, an incredibly bad argument. And so if you are on the fence about Ukraine, just please think about what I said, right? You may disagree with it. That's fully within your rights. You may have some reason that I didn't address. In that case, you know, send me an email. But at least you've hopefully thought through your position. Aid to Ukraine allows us to focus on China. It destroys Russia's military for 10 cents on the dollar. Precisely zero American soldiers have died. It provides great validation for our weapon systems. It revitalizes our industrial base while long-term hurting Russia's. It is a morally right thing to do. And I truly believe that this is the single biggest foreign policy win since the fall of communism in Eastern Europe. Without aid to Ukraine, you're basically supporting the rollback of democracy in Europe and the advance of our authoritarian enemies. And make no mistake, Russia is our enemy in Europe. And we are promoting a more unstable world in which we'll have to devote more resources to Europe if we do not aid Ukraine. And that's about all. This is more obviously of an opinion piece, I would say, if we're dividing this into newspaper terms, definitely on the editorial side of the desk. And next week, I'm going to get into something a little more naval related. But this has been the U.S. Naval History Podcast. Feel free to shoot me an email telling me that you agree with me or you think that I'm an idiot at usnavalhistorypodcast@gmail.com. Until next week, fair winds and following seas.